Hello, welcome to the Your Senior Living Questions Answered podcast. My name is Michelle and I'm your host, where we share all different facets of the senior living journey, especially here at MBK Senior Living. Our goal is to help answer the most common and sometimes the most burning questions about senior living so you can make a better, more informed decision. Now let's get started. Today's podcast will get your blood pumping and motivate you to get up out of your chair. Joining us today to discuss all things fitness, senior fitness that is Donald McGraw, the director of MBK Fit at MBK Senior Living. Hi, Donald.
Good morning.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. So tell us about yourself, your background, how long you've been with MBK, and you know what you do.
Sure. So the easy answer is that I have a graduate degree in adapted exercise and certified personal training trainer, and I've been working in senior living for 11 years. But most people are probably wondering what adapted exercise is.
Yes.
And yeah, so adapted exercise is being able to accommodate, modify any kind of exercise for any type of special needs. And I went through a program at Cal State Northridge, which was an amazing program, very hands-on of land and aquatic-based exercise, working with every type of disability that you could nearly see, it seemed like. I always gravitated a lot towards stroke and Parkinson's, but a lot of work with spinal cord injury and multiple sclerosis. And then I did some work with the Christopher Reeves Foundation for a year after graduating, which was great, working with spinal cord injury. And I did still work with stroke and Parkinson's. And then I got into senior living, starting with West Living, about almost 11 years ago.
Okay. Wow. So West Living is, they were a former senior living company, had a number of communities in California, and MBK Senior Living purchased a portfolio of West Living communities. The one where you work primarily out of, which is the Reserve at Thousand Oaks, being one of them. So since MBK acquired the community, we have brought MBK Fit into the family.
Yeah. And so I've been with MBK now for, I think, just about 4 years. And it's just been a great transition of bringing exercise into the MBK portfolio.
Awesome. Well, I've known you for about that amount of time. And I obviously know that you're very well credentialed, very knowledgeable about physical fitness in general. I've heard you speak at a number of our internal conferences and webinars that we've done for externally, health and nutrition too, as a whole. But you have a very specific passion for senior health and fitness. Can you share with us why and how you got started in senior living?
Yeah. So it started, I had two grandparents that had Parkinson's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it left a lasting impact on me. My grandfather, I had a grandfather and grandmother had it, separate sides of my family. But when I was a teenager, I remember going to the gym with my grandfather and helping him exercise in the gym. And even at that point, it was just really clear how important him moving was for him and for my grandmother, who was, you know, slowly becoming more and more of a caregiver for him.
How old was he at the time?
He was about 82.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And you know, he passed away about 13 years after his diagnosis. But it left a big impact on me. And so when I found the graduate program at Cal State Northridge in adapted exercise, it just rung true to me. And when I was there, I always gravitated more of the seniors that were there, I think because of that connection to my grandparents. And so eventually when the role in senior living came along, I mean, it just was a no-brainer for me, knowing that I would still continue to work with people who had, you know, major injuries like that. But I would also just be working with seniors in general. Every single senior is different and they all need adaptations and accommodations. And really it's just getting to work with almost like my grandparents again and forming those relationships and those bonds. It's been really important. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I love that too. And I think it's, a very necessary, it's a niche, but it's very necessary. I mean, not something that we talk about. Adapted exercise for older adults.
Right.
But gosh,
that's everybody important. Needs adaptation. And yeah. What's been really cool too is that,
you know, with my role with MBK is that, you know, I'm also helping other communities, you know, find fitness instructors and get fitness instructors to take on that idea of adapting and accommodating and making exercise work for every single resident that we have in the community. So it's not that I'm just individually myself working with residents. It's been really fun to help expand the amount of people that in a way I'm kind of getting to reach.
Yeah. So we're touching on it a little bit, but... So what is the biggest difference in exercise and personal training and fitness for seniors?
Yeah. So, you know, young people, when they exercise, and when I say young people, we can just categorize that as seniors and under. You know, most people are looking to get bigger, stronger, faster, look better, feel better about themselves, the way they look. But for seniors, the expectations definitely kind of change. You know, we really want a major goal to be figuring out how to keep people's activities of daily living, which is a word that's talked about constantly in senior living and with seniors, right?
Can you explain a little bit, what are some examples of activities?
Yeah, activity of daily living is nearly anything that you do every single day. And so it could dressing yourself, taking showers, brushing your teeth, walking down the hallway, you know,
getting
up and out of a chair is really important. So it's nearly anything that somebody does every single day. And so we really want to keep those activities of daily living going. And how I look at it and how I talk with people is that, you know, every single activity of daily living is basically like a skill. And whatever skill set we've had in our entire life, in order to keep that skill, we've always had to practice it. We've always had to continue to do it to keep that skill. The thing with activities of daily living, these are skills that we have that we just take for granted.
Right.
Right. And so
we don't think we're practicing, but
right. We don't think we're practicing. And we assume that because I'm able to get dressed and I'm able to get out of the chair I sit in every day, that I've got that skill. But unfortunately, it just doesn't quite work like that. You know, I compare a lot of things to athletes. You know, we could have an athlete who is at the top of the world, really. You know, like I love basketball. So LeBron James, right? He's one of the best that's ever played. He practices every day.
Good point.
And not only does he, right? Not only does he practice relentlessly, he also trains in a way that is not sport related, right? He gets stronger. He practices balance training. He works in his range of motion. You know, he does yoga. You know, I'm pretty sure probably swims too in the off season, right? So he does all kinds of things to keep his body strong to be able to do the skill that he is the best at in the world at. And he continues to practice that skill all the time too.
Good way to frame that.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, I talk to residents a lot that, you know, your game time is your day, right? And you want to be able to perform all those skills in that game throughout the day. Well, in order to do that, you need to practice them outside of just doing them. And then you also need to train to be able to do them well. And so, you know, seniors, we have to supplement movement in order to be able to do the things you want to do when you want to do them, right? And that's really your activities of daily living. There's kind of the law that I call the law of senior inactivity, and I've coined it as the McGraw law of senior inactivity, knowing full well that somebody else has probably identified this before, and it's not mine, but it's nice to say with residents, and it makes me feel super smart.
But we say it here.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, if you don't try to keep your body strong to do all those skills that you want to do in your daytime, you will go from nothing to a cane, to a walker, to a wheelchair. No, to a scooter, to a wheelchair, to a bed. So cane, walker, scooter, wheelchair, bed. And that is really a guarantee. You know, I can never guarantee with anybody that I work with that they're going to go from not needing the walker very much to going to a cane. That's big work,
We see it all the time. Right. I actually have even seen it with my own family member, my father-in-law, exact progression that you actually, what he went from walker straight to wheelchair. Right. Didn't even have the scooter.
Yeah, exactly. It's possible to skip stages. You know, you could have somebody who's seems completely independent and they walk all the time and they don't use any assisted devices. And then something unexpected and terrible happens and they have a break. And because they were not strong going into that fracture, they could end up going from using nothing to a walker maybe sometimes and a most of the time scooter when they're going far places. It can happen quick. The thing is that we've all seen it. You know, we don't really need, yes, there's research that points to it, but we don't really need that much research to confirm that that is the case. We've all had grandparents, spouses, other family members, friends. We've all seen it at some point. Somebody who, as they start needing an assisted device, they stop doing as much. And as they stop doing as much, it just slowly progresses. Now, the really stinky thing, and I hope I'm not bringing down the mood too much, is that cognitive decline goes right along with it. Right. And we've all seen that as well. We've seen that as somebody starts using, needing more assisted devices and they start doing less, they start thinking more, they're more challenged in their thought processing, right? And you know, the data shows that the less people move, the more likely they are to have the onset of dementia, right? So it's vitally important to keep those skills and keep your mobility. And then the last kind of downer out of all of that is that costs go up. So as mobility goes down and cognitive decline continues, financial costs go up, right? So it's I talk about it is a physical but literal retirement savings plan to keep where you're at, to do everything you can to keep your activity going and supplement some movement, because there's huge financial costs but emotional too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I think that's very relatable. I think a lot of people that are listening will probably hear that and think, oh my gosh, I'm literally seeing that happening right now.
Yeah. And I saw it with my grandparents, you know, and yeah, my grandparents with Parkinson's, they had a major injury. You know, I consider Parkinson's, it's like a progressive injury. But with Parkinson's, the more he moved, the better he was for the rest of the day. You know, it just had such dramatic impacts and for sure kept him around with all of us enjoying his life to the fullest for much longer. You know, I'm sure. Because of that exercise.
So you've talked about both having Parkinson's, having a very specific, not so great event, but also just the natural progression of aging, right? What are some common activities of daily living that are just naturally diminished in the aging process?
Yeah. You know, the most noticeable really that people see is like getting out of a chair.
And that's just because you're getting older, you're getting frailer, your bone, your muscle mass.
There's a lot that goes into it. Yeah, a lot of it is strength, but also is how you get out of a chair. People tend to notice it when they're struggling to get dressed, right? They might be struggling to walk, right, as far. Having trouble standing and they feel like they need to hold on to something. And so much of it, I correlate to the loss of balance, right? Being more and more balance challenge just correlates to so many things. Like even getting your clothes on, right? If you're struggling with balance, you're going to end up sitting down in a chair more. If you're struggling in your balance at sitting on the edge of a bed to put your pants on, beds are squishy. When you're sitting on squishy things, your balance is more challenged. So you will even struggle to put your pants on when you're sitting on the edge of the bed because you're struggling with the balance that is associated with balancing while you're sitting on a squishy item. So, it has this dramatic, profound effect. Now, you know, balance is not necessarily designated as an activity of daily living that often, you know, like if you see a list of activity of dealing, but for me, you are balancing throughout the entire day. It is an activity that you are doing the entire day. And what's hard for people is that they don't really tend to understand why it's happening, right? It's one of those things we take for granted. until something dramatic, you know, happens. And so if people aren't finding ways to challenge their balance will just inherently get worse. One of the most common scenarios that I get out of people who kind of push back, seniors who push back a little bit on needing balance training, is they always say, well, I'm fine. I walk all the time. I've never had a fall. Well, first, let's recognize that every single person who's had their first fall before that always believed that they were fine. Right? You know, it's like human nature is like everything is fine until it's not, right? And that tends to be our behavior as humans, is to not take action until we realize something is drastically wrong. So somebody, you know, if we have a senior who walks all the time, they think they're fine because they haven't had a fall. Now, sidebar, please keep walking. Don't stop walking. I'm not saying don't stop walking and only balance training. I'm saying you got to do both, right? Because when people tend to walk, they tend to walk the same route for the most part, especially as they get older, right? They pick a route that they love and they end up doing that. They know the route. They tend to know where all the cracks are, the uneven sidewalk and things like that are, and they're constantly looking straight ahead, assessing the scenario to do everything they can to not lose the balance, because the thought is, if I lose my balance, I will have a fall, which is not necessarily always the case, and I'll tell you why. So at no point is that person who walks all the time, some people do, but most likely they're not practicing side steps, they're not practicing diagonal steps, they're not practicing quick feet, right? Increasing the speed of their footwork. So what ends up happening, unfortunately, is that walker who walks all the time and thinks that's all they need to do, is the unexpected happens. And they're walking and maybe somebody across the way to the right calls their name. And then that senior stops with 1 foot slightly forward, which is harder to balance than if your feet are next to each other. So they stop 1 foot slightly forward and they turn their head quickly. And the minute you turn your head quickly, you're challenging two of the three balance systems. So it's an instantaneous loss of balance.
Wow.
Now, the fall has not occurred yet.
Mm-hmm.
The loss of balance has occurred yet. If that person doesn't have the reflexes and the quickness of feet to keep their feet underneath them as they're losing their balance, that's when the fall happens.
Interesting.
Because here's the thing. We have all our entire life stumbled, tripped, lost our balance, missed a step, and not fallen for the most part, like 99% of the time, right?
Happens to me every single day.
Right. And you've not fallen. So we can't take those situations out of the senior.
That's a good point.
Right. We then, our reflexes, without any thought, kick in and keep our feet underneath us. And we don't have a fall. We react quick enough. So if a senior is not working to not just be prepared for the head turn, right? So if we can train the system to keep balance better, that's a win. But then if you can also train quickness of footwork so that the reflexes kick in and do what's necessary to prevent the fall, then the fall is prevented. But unfortunately, you know, that's why we as seniors and people tend to think that they're doing fine, because they're going about that activity that they're doing perfectly fine. And falls happen because of unexpected events.
Well, I don't think anyone has really broken down what leads to a fall like this. I've never heard it before. I've been in senior living for 11 years. And I think this is really, if there's any podcast that you are going to save and favorite and keep a clip of, this has to be it. This can be life-changing for a lot of people. Breaking down what can lead to a fall is loss of balance, like you said, right? But also related to reflexes. These are not words that we talk about when you're younger, let's say,
for sure,
and talking about exercise. So what can be done to, let's shift to, okay, we've talked about all the things that can go wrong. And right, a lot of times we've seen working in this industry, this happens all too often. What can we do? When is it too late? Is it ever too late?
No, it's never too late. You know, if we look back on that, my law of inactivity, right? You know, if you're with a walker, let's do everything we can to keep you with the walker, but doing better with the walker, right? Walking farther with the walker, feeling comfortable enough to go somewhere that involves a lot more walking and walking in that location with the walker. Let's get you more comfortable with turning around and sitting down the walker to give yourself breaks. Let's get you more comfortable with how to get the walker up a curb if you get stuck in that situation. It really doesn't matter where you're at. You can always start now. And, you know, if I always say to residents, if you can do everything you can right now to keep your ability where you're at, you never know where you're going to go. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to go from the walker to a cane, but if we do everything to make you safer in your life and exercise more in your life with the walker, good things could happen. You just never know, but at least you're staying where you are and hopefully doing a little bit better and able to enjoy life to the best of your abilities.
Okay, so real talk, it's always easy to say, yeah, this is what you should do. Okay, great. I mean, how many of us have a New Year's resolution to lose weight or get fit or start exercising regularly and 3 weeks in, it's done. I mean, it's over. What are some of the greatest obstacles, barriers, or excuses that you hear for why exercise is not a priority? Hearing you say this, in my mind, of course, it's like, well, duh. 2 days a week can help maintain your abilities for 9 years, potentially.
Well, that's
not a guarantee, but it's a possibility, yes. Right? It's something that has happened. Right. I mean, it's like, well, duh.
Right.
But we obviously know that doesn't. It's much harder than that. So, what are some things that you hear on why exercise is just not a priority?
Yeah. So when looking at with seniors, probably the most common reason to not exercise is pain.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, is pain. And so
hard not to be sympathetic to that,
you know,
for sure.
Building relationships with people to be able to really dissect what they mean by pain is really important. So there's kind of three things that I tend to look at in discussing with people with, and when they talk about it hurts when I exercise, is identifying what that hurt is. Are we talking muscle soreness? Are we talking the feeling of stretching? Or are we talking actual pain? Another one that is a barrier for every single age group is I don't feel like it. I'm not going to hit. Yes. We've all said it. I'm not going to hit really on everybody's best way to get away from it. But I think for seniors, the most common way I can help seniors get around the I don't feel like it is 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. Give the class 5 minutes. Right? Seniors aren't really people who have been athletes before tend to really be more attuned with the idea of a warm up, right? There's a reason we warm up, right? Gets the blood flowing, more blood goes to the brain, you feel more awake, lubricates joints, muscles move better, right? Everything starts operating better once you start warming up, right? Going directly into something heavy is not the best route. So by saying, give me 5 minutes, it's like saying, just give me a warm up and let's see how you feel. Because really, first movements stink, especially if you have arthritis. The first time you move a joint, it's going to be absolutely awful. Sometimes I get people that I say, give me four repetitions. If it still hurts after four, I'm fine stopping it. You know, give me four repetitions. Lift your arm 4 times. If by the fourth time it's not a little bit better, that's fine. We can stop. Because painful joints, arthritic joints, the brain, it all needs a warm up. And usually if we can give ourselves 5 minutes, we can probably get to more minutes. And it usually happens. The third most biggest barrier I hear is I can't do what I used to. So the severe frustration of that. And that is completely understandable. And I totally get it. The thing is I just constantly talk to people, think about today and think about tomorrow. You know, what are you going to do today? And look forward to what you're going to do tomorrow. You know, it's hard for people to see little changes. I notice little changes. Family members notice little changes. But we don't notice the little changes in ourselves, especially as we're aging, because you're with yourself 24 hours a day. You have no way of comparing yourself, right? We can't duplicate you so that you can see what you look like who are not exercising compared to how you are exercising, right? That's what makes it really hard. So people don't feel the little changes, but family, that's the thing is, you know, the great thing that happens when family members are like, wow, you're really walking better, or wow, you walk so much farther today, or wow, you're getting out of the car so much better, or I barely had to help you, you know, get out of my really ridiculously low couch that you can't stand. Those are really, really definitive things. And just, it's really hard for seniors to notice. So, you know, having people around you, reinforcing that you're doing better. And that's what makes, group class instructors great, because they'll reinforce that for you. Having a personal trainer is great. They'll help reinforce that stuff for you. And hanging your hat on those little things, is important. The fourth kind of barrier that I hear the most is, well, I never had to exercise.
Lucky.
Yeah.
If you're that
lucky. Well, you know, like I said before with the fall prevention, is that everybody before they have their first fall has believed that they're fine. So, you know, this one is trying to educate, you know, the person that I'm working with about, you know, where it's kind of a guarantee to go, right? That cycle that we talked about. Asking them to think about people in their lives that they've seen that too, because there's a really good chance at some point they remember having a parent that was doing great, and then all of a sudden something drastic happened, or all of a sudden there was a major decline in movement, and they were on that cycle. So trying to get people to actually connect with, you know, seeing these things in their life, because you know what? If anybody is not exercising because they don't know it's not good for them, then they must be living in a closet. Because every single senior hears it on the TV, they read it in magazines, the newspapers, in books, right? They hear it from their kids. Every single senior in some capacity has had a doctor, has told them they need to exercise. And if they believe that they don't need to, well, then it's really not going to help to give them more facts and things like that. But if I can help people find a personal connection to seeing, you know, where they're at now, and where they've seen other people go from that stage, I think it's really important.
A lot of coaching. Mm-hmm. It's coaching and motivation. Okay, so I mean, that's I feel like everything that you listed, the barriers, or it's not specific to any age group. It happens to all of us. It's mm-hmm. barriers that we all put up, and it's so unrealistic to think you don't need exercise. I mean, there's not a single human that has ever existed that doesn't actually need it.
Yeah, and you know, I think the one barrier that's a little bit different between age groups is kind of time, right? For the most part, like even myself, like I struggle with having the time to do it. And for me personally, I commit myself to, well, you know what? If I can get 10 minutes right now, that's meaningful. For seniors, a lot of time, you know, they joke all the time that, I'm retired now, but for some reason I don't have the time. You do have the time if you think micro. About it, and realize that you can get 10 minutes in here, and you can maybe get 10 minutes in a little bit later, you know, and that the time is there for you.
Okay, so how do you change that perspective? So that is, you just mentioned it right now, thinking about it more micro instead of macro, not thinking you have to commit 2 hours of your day, one giant chunk, but 10 minutes here and there and doing what you can. What are some other ways that you change that perspective of I can't do it?
Yeah, a big one is to think kind of globally about your body, kind of back to what we talked about with the shoulder pain or injury preventing the rest of the body and you overall from getting exercises, to think overall about your body, and that even if there's an issue in one area, you have a whole bunch of other areas. And how can I just, how can I find a way to fit exercise in my life? Especially for the people who feel that they're totally independent and they're good and I don't need exercise and I've always done all these things in my life. I would say that think less, change what you think exercise is, because most likely how you're thinking exercise is the reason that you're not getting exercise. So find something fun. Find something fun to do that interested you. There's so many different types of exercise classes out there. Find the one that is fun. Find the one that has the people in it that you like the most.
And available for free on YouTube.
Right, exactly. And really, it is. It's available for free on YouTube. There's so much good stuff. So, you know, just think globally about your body, but also just what you're going to enjoy the most so that it's just not so much of a chore. There's just really, unfortunately, we're surrounded with the idea that if I can identify a problem, I can then fix it. So there's no magic pill and there's really no surgery that can be done that can give you more activity. Unfortunately. So trying to find that one fix or that one thing that's going on with your body. And if I fix that one thing that I feel is wrong with my body, then I'll go exercise. I've seen so many people wait too long. So many people looking for that one answer. I've gone to so many doctors. None of them can identify what's wrong with my back. And while you're waiting for that one thing to be identified, because it feels like if that's fixed, everything's good, you're sitting more and you're doing less and you're not having as much fun. You know, so whatever you're sitting and waiting for an answer to be there so that you think you can fix it, there's still things you can do, you know?
So those that are listening are probably feeling pretty motivated. And by this time, I have been convinced of the importance of fitness, but probably also struggling with knowing how exactly to get started, whether that's for themselves or for a parent, which probably in many cases is a greater challenge because it's, you can do something about yourself, but you know, for a loved one, you can't motivate somebody else, right? So I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about MBK Fit because, again, majority of the audience that are listening to this podcast probably because they're somewhere along the senior living community search journey. So in all honesty, there aren't a ton of formal programs or like classes at the gym or general resources out there for fitness that is adapted specifically for seniors and to achieve the goals of maintaining activities of daily living, not furthering the down the line of inactivity and decline that we've talked about, right?
Yeah.
And MBK Fit is something that is obviously, it's offered at a handful of MBK senior living communities, and it is designed to do everything that you just talked about today. So can you explain what is MBK Fit?
Sure. Well, in a nutshell, MBK Fit is an instructor-driven exercise programming. It's meant to help motivate residents to engage in a lifelong activity. It's talking about it's not an antibiotic, right? So lifelong activity and movement that, you know, it's adapted for all. You know, this is MBK's commitment to providing the resources to residents to exercise. I was working through this analogy the other day a little bit in my head. It just popped to me. So let me know if it's not good or anything like that. But, you know, I was thinking about retirement planning, right? And we talked about how staying active is like, it's like a retirement savings account, right? So, you know, by having MBK Fit and an instructor in the community, there is a resource to guide the person, the senior, on how to access this thing that they're being told they have and is really good for them. So if we as a company, we provide retirement plan, right? Yeah. But imagine if we just told our staff members, hey, you have a retirement plan. It's really good. But then it didn't provide any resources whatsoever for them to understand the retirement plan, planning, how to change their retirement plan, how to invest better, how much money to put in, right? If we provided no services, that would be really disingenuous. And our company does that, right? Our company is really good at providing the necessary information. So here we are telling our seniors in our community that we have all this exercise and somebody that is a resource for you to be able to learn how to make it work for you and how it's going to work for you. I truly believe that there is absolutely no greater motivator than personal connection and actually being able to get to know somebody, right? I think so many of us can all agree that you're probably not going to go to an exercise class if you don't like the instructor. whether you know the exercise is good for you or not. You know, so it's really important that we are there to form relationships with the residents, build relationships, get to know them, talk them through what they have going on and what part of the exercise program works for them so that they're not left in the dark. And it's a big, heavy commitment to making sure that it is available to all, no matter what special consideration they have going on, that there's something for them and that it's fun. We really want it to be fun. We want exercise to be fun.
I love that. We spent a good amount of time talking about the obstacles and the barriers or, you know, excuses of why we don't want to exercise. And you address kind of the antidote to that. And almost all of it is motivating, right? Changing the thought process. And of course, some people can self-motivate, but it's challenging. Sometimes you do need somebody to help push you. And literally that's what MBK Fit, being instructor driven, you're having that kind of personal trainer, that knowledgeable person helping you to get motivated.
And
right?
Hopefully somebody you like.
And somebody you like.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
You know, so it's very often that all our instructors are told, oh, you reminded me a lot of my grandson or my granddaughter, or, you know, you're like a grandson to me and things like that. So, it's really important. And, you know, the program, we really want to deliver unique and diverse group classes, right? We want things to be interesting. Again, we want to change people's perspective on what exercise is and what senior exercise is. Everybody has such varying ability levels. We want the program to be adaptable to the community at a large and what each community's general population is more interested. And we want it to be reactive too. You know, if we've got a resident or two like, I want to do a yoga class, but I want to be getting on the floor. Awesome. Let's do it, you know, and that we can react to it and provide that service to them is really, really important. You know, for that coaching and that motivation, you know, I love the amount of energy that our instructors bring into the community. I think it just breeds a lot more life. Having somebody whose sole job is to just be throughout the community, throughout the day, providing fun and energy and group exercise classes and building connections. And I am specifically make it that I try not to have them be bogged down too much with computer work and things like that, because we want them to be all around the community. I think it's really meaningful that, to have that program. Well, I'll probably talk a little bit more about the program rather than just the group classes, because that's really the difference is, you know, most on average senior living communities, they have one or two outside instructors who come in and they teach an exercise class and then they end up leaving. And they might have a gym, but nobody in the gym to help guide residents through these really intimidating pieces of equipment that they've never used before, right? So, you know, on average, most seniors in senior living communities don't use the gym equipment because they don't know how to use it. They never used it before, and they're really not very fun. Yeah, they're really not. Yeah, they're just really not much fun. So there's just not as much opportunity to build relationships. For sure, the instructors who are coming in the communities are amazing and wonderful, and forming bonds with those with the residents that are participating. But with MBK Fit, we have a way of getting to every single type of senior exerciser in our community compared to if there's not an instructor. And I'll kind of describe that to you. So without being in danger and oversimplifying, I kind of break down exercising seniors into like four groups. And it's pretty similar for all age groups, but let's just look at seniors for the most part. So there's the group of seniors that know they need to exercise and are totally motivated to do it. They go to those group classes, no matter whether it's an MBK Fit community or it's any other community, just has an instructor come in and teach and then leave. They go. That's like the easy demographic to get. So that's the most common demographic that's exercising, right? But then there's three other groups. You got the next group, which they know they need to exercise, but they're unmotivated to do it. So there's a chance that because they have never gone into that instructor's gym before and then they see them leave, there's not enough opportunity for them to get to know that instructor enough to be like, I like that instructor, I'm going to go to that class. Unless a friend from that class says, you know, she's great or he's great, you should go to that class, right? So without MBK Fit, you have that lost opportunity for group number two who aren't having the personal connection to be motivated enough to go to the group class. Group three is they know they need to do it. They need to do it and it's good for them. But for some reason, they think they can't. Whether it is they think they don't have the ability to do it or they have some kind of injury going on that they believe prevents them from exercise, which we've definitely talked about that. So by having MBK Fit, that's where post-group classes, our instructor can make those connections with the residents throughout the community to help talk them and coach them through the reasons that they can go to that exercise class and they can do that exercise class, or even identify that I need to provide an exercise class that you can do, that you were not providing the class that you can do. And so that's what makes it meaningful, is that we are able to get the people who know they need to exercise, but for some reason, whether it be motivation, injury, or they think they can't do it, they're not exercising. So there's a large demographic of people that are missed, kind of under the general senior living model. You know, that that happens when that instructor comes in and then leaves. The fourth group is the hardest group to get, and that's the group who thinks they're fine. You know, we talked a little bit about that group. For sure, it's like I said, it's nearly impossible to just personally motivate, you know, anyone who thinks that they're totally fine. The unfortunate side of it is that usually it's a wake-up call that occurs that makes people realize that, oh, shoot, I should probably do something. Yeah. Or they have an injury and they go to physical therapy and the physical therapy starts coaching them through exercise and things like that. But the greatest thing about having MBK Fit in the community for that group is that, one, we could form the relationship with that person to realize that, like, hey, I like that instructor. I want to just go to their class because they're fun. The class is fun. You know, I don't really need the exercise, but at least the class is fun. Or at least there's that relationships that's built so that when that wake-up call happens, and hopefully it's not a too big of a wake-up call, at least when that wake-up call happens, there's that relationship so that that resident feels comfortable going to that instructor and figuring out how to start fitting exercise into their life. So that instructor really provides the opportunity for all residents in the community to actually access the fitness program that we and the entire world and their kids are telling them they need to do.
So that relationship is key.
Yeah.
I love that. Donald, this has been a great conversation. A lot of great information. Very motivating. Real talk as well. You know, everything that we've talked about, I think, is something that is relatable and something that we've seen, especially if you're looking for senior living or you are caring for a loved one. It's very relatable. To kind of bring it home and conclude our discussion here, I want to ask you, how have you seen the perception of exercise for seniors and adapted exercise? How has it changed in the last couple of years? And where do you see it going in the future?
Yeah. Absolutely over the last 10 years, you know, I think as we're getting more and more of a generation coming in that has exercised in some capacity in their life, I think it's just really more common for people, for seniors moving into communities to be interested in fitness. So I think it is a place that the industry is going to eventually change for. I mean, I'm pretty sure at some point there was an quote unquote activity director at every community in senior living, you know, going back 40 years ago. And then, you know, they started identifying that, hey, you know, we need activity directors in communities to provide fun and enlightenment for residents. So I think this is where it's going is what is the fitness, experience going to be like in each community going forward. And that's why I'm just, I'm really proud to be a part of MBK and its vision going forward of how we can provide the resources to help people access exercise, in a personalized manner, in a motivational manner, in a fun manner, in a dynamic manner, that is just available to everybody. So I'm really happy to be a part of this experience going with MBK.
Well, we're very happy to have you. Thank you for your time today. And hopefully you'll come back.
I would love to.
Talk more.
Oh, there's a lot in this brand.
There are.
I could talk a lot.
Okay, great. Come back. Thank you so much.
I will. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.